good Muslim is the one who avoids harming the Muslims with his tongue and hands. Good Muslim is the one who avoids harming the Muslims with his tongue and hands. Good Muslim is the one who avoids harming the Muslims with his tongue and hands.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear respected Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our program, How a Muslim Should Be. Inshallah, another beautiful topic I would like to present in front of you today, inshallah. Such a topic, unfortunately, these people that I will be speaking about today, this type of people that I'm going to be speaking about today, unfortunately, in our society, they are neglected. Which people are these? Before I mention these, inshallah, let's listen to a beautiful narration about the blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned that our beloved Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has said that the individual who recites 1,000 times peace and blessings upon me, durood upon me on a daily basis, that individual will not die until he sees his palace in paradise. Allahu Akbar. Think to yourself. Now today, we go past the king's house. We go past people's houses. They have big, big houses. And we think to ourselves, what a beautiful house. What a nice house. Look at that beautiful house. Look at that beautiful palace. Look at the prime minister's house. Look at the president's house. Look at so-and-so person's house. Think to yourself, this world's palaces, these world's houses, they are nothing compared to the palaces that people will get in Jannah, inshallah. And may Allah Azawajal allow us to live in those palaces in Jannah, inshallah Azawajal. One way that we can see our palace in Jannah is on a daily basis. Every single day, you recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only 1,000 times. Allahu Akbar. 1,000 times you recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person will not die until he sees his palace in paradise, inshallah. So, my dear respected Islamic brothers, now some might be thinking, 1,000 times Durood-e Pak on a daily basis. What's going to happen? How am I going to do that? My dear respected Islamic brothers, all it takes is some concentration. You know, if you look at our daily lives, we have a lot of spare time. We have a lot of free time that we can use to send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me give you some practical examples. How much namaz do we have to read on a daily basis? How much salahs do we have to read on a daily basis? 5 times. Yeah? 5 times we have to read our salah. Now for the males that are watching first. We go to the masjid to pray our salah. Maybe the masjid is 5 minute walk, a 10 minute walk. Make an intention that whilst I'm walking to the masjid, I will recite Durood-e Pak 100 times. When I'm coming back from the masjid, I will recite Durood-e Pak 100 times. Times that by 5, how much is that? 1,000. So this simple, practical ways how we can recite Durood-e Pak of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a daily basis 1,000 times. So the sisters that are watching, make intention inshallah. Durood-e Pak 100 times before namaz, 100 times after namaz. Madina, Madina inshallah. And other ways, you know, we drive our cars today. And what happens? When we're at the traffic light and the traffic light is red, what do we have to do? We have to wait in it. Now you think to yourself, you're waiting for people to cross the road. You're waiting for the other cars on the other side to pass. What are you doing at that time? If you have a tasbih with you at that time, whilst waiting for the lights to go green, recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time, Medina, Medina. Meaning you're waiting at the traffic light, you're getting reward inshallah. At the time, I'll give you one practical example. You go to work. We go to school, we go to college, we go to university. Many of us, we use the computer on a daily basis. What do? We press Control, Alt, Delete. And what happens then? We put our login details in, and then we have to wait for our computer to load. We have to wait for our account to load. You're waiting for your computer to load? Just like that. At that time, besides Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, waiting for your computer to load will also be a means of reward for you, inshallah. Meaning practical ways, easy ways. We have many times in our lifetime on a daily basis where we can recite Durood-e Pak, but our attention is not towards that thing. Our mindset is not there. If our mindset is that every free time that we get, we will recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine how much Durood-e Pak you will recite, inshallah. You're walking to the shops. All you're doing is going to buy some milk, going to buy something from the grocery shop. You're walking to the shop. What are you doing? Just walking. How would this be with you? Do the zikr of Allah. Recite durud-e pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my dear respected Islamists, concentrate today. Before you go to sleep today, think to yourself, how can I send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance? And trust me, you will find many ways where you will get time to send peace and blessings, inshallah azza wa jal. So may Allah azza wa jal make us those people that recite durud-e pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance. Sallu alayhi habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected Islam brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, you know, we have many relations today. There might be someone watching, alhamdulillah, your mother's still alive, your father's still alive. There might be someone watching at this moment in time, alhamdulillah, you have a brother, you have a sister, you have your grandparents are alive, alhamdulillah, you have friends. And there might also be some people watching at this moment in time, they have lost relatives. Maybe someone's mother has passed away. Maybe someone's father's passed away. Maybe someone's brother's passed away. Maybe someone's sister's passed away. All our deceased that have passed away with the Iman, may Allah Azawajal grant them a high status in Jannah. But you know, in our relations, if you look at them carefully, there might be someone watching who has a brother but doesn't have a sister. There might be someone else watching who has a sister but doesn't have a brother. Various examples that I can give you. But there is one relation that we all have. And it's not about that my mother's passed away, my father's passed away, my brother's passed away, my sister's passed away. No. One relation that always exists amongst us. Have you heard a guess what that is? It's a very easy guess. That guess is our neighbor. Wherever we go in the world, wherever we live in our society, wherever we buy our home, we will always have neighbors. But my dear respected Islamic brothers, as you know, the Islam is a complete religion. Islam has even shown us the way. Islam has told us the way of how to treat our neighbors, what to do to our neighbors, and what not to do to our neighbors, which I will be mentioning today. I will be mentioning some rights of our neighbors, inshallah. And unfortunately, our neighbors are those today that they are deprived from us. We don't speak to them, they don't speak to us. We cause them problem, they cause us problem. This is the society that we are living in today. We've got many friends on social media. We speak to many people on social media on the other side of the world. But the people that live amongst us, the people that live next door to us, the people that live on our road, we don't have any relations with them. Inshallah, I will always be speaking about what a neighbor is and how we should treat our neighbors. But before I mention this, a beautiful example, a beautiful narration about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, that great personality that today millions and millions and millions of Hanafis, they follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Who was Imam Abu Hanifa? How did he used to treat his neighbors? Let me mention this to you today, inshallah. It's mentioned that in Kufa, a sinful individual will live in the neighborhood of Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. This individual, during the day, he would go and work, and in the evening, he would come back, he would have some food to eat, and then he would drink alcohol. He would drink so much alcohol that he would become intoxicated. He used to shout the whole night. He used to disturb the neighbors the whole night. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was that great personality. Today we don't read our namaz. We don't read our 5 times namaz. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi would stand for worship during the night as well. That was this great personality, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. It's mentioned that when Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi would stand in worship during the night, this individual, due to his shouting, due to him disturbing the neighbors, he would also disturb Imam Abu Hanifa. But Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he would remain occupied in worshipping Allah, occupied in doing reading salah in the court of Allah, reading the Quran. One day what happened? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, as per usual, he's reading his namaz, he's reading his salah. But that night, he hears no sound. He hears no disturbance. He doesn't hear that person that normally would shout on a nightly basis that would disturb the neighborhood of that time. No. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, now think to yourself, if that was our condition, what would we do? Thank God. We do the shukr of Allah, Ya Allah, that person is gone from this society. Ya Allah, we thank you that this person even didn't disturb us last night. That would be our response. But the next day, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he asked his father that individual that makes so much noise at night, where is he gone today? He's not made no noise at night this time. He's not disturbed me during the night this time. Where is he gone? Find out what happened to that person. So that individual that his father, he went and he found out that the individual got arrested by the police and he was locked up in jail. So he told Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh that your neighbor who used to disturb you the whole night on a nightly basis, he's got arrested and he's now in jail. If it was us again, what would we do? Ya Allah, we thank you. This individual that would disturb us, make so much noise and disturb us, he's locked up in jail. Thank God. And we would sit down. But Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he went and he prayed his Salatul Fajr with Jamaat. And then he went to the Caliph of the time. When the Caliph, his Khadimeen, his slaves told him that so-and-so person, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has come to meet you. The Caliph got so happy, he said, go quickly bring him in. Bring him in with respect as well and bring him to me. So it's mentioned that Imam Abu Hanifa visited the Caliph. The Caliph said, Huzoor, how can I help you? You're such a great personality. How can I help you? What could I do for you as the Caliph of our time? What could I do for you? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he said, that my so-and-so neighbor, he's been locked up. Please release him. See to yourself. Before I continue, I'll say the same thing again. If we were in that situation, we would be like, thank God that person's been arrested. But Imam Abu Hanifa, he's gone to the Caliph of his time to get that person released who would cause Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi so much problem, so much trouble, so much disturbance he would cause to Imam Abu Hanifa during the night whilst he used to worship. So he said to the Caliph to allow him to be released. The Caliph, because he respected Imam Abu Hanifa, he said, okay, he told his soldiers that release so and so person. And because of Imam Abu Hanifa, all those people that you have captured today, for the sake of him, release them all today. So it's mentioned that all the people that were arrested that day, they were all released. And the neighbor of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he was released. Now Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he was going back home and his neighbor was following him. Imam Abu Hanifa is walking and his neighbor is following him. The neighbor says, Huzoor, thank you so much. You've saved me from this great problem. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi then said to him, that, oh young man, did I cause any trouble to you? Meaning, you are following me now. Did I cause you any trouble that you are following me? The young man said, no. But you have helped me getting me released. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward you for taking care of the respect of your neighbor. And it's mentioned, listen to the next part. Imam Abu Hanifa, due to his blessings, that young man that was released, that would cause a lot of trouble to Imam Abu Hanifa, because of this great act by Imam Abu Hanifa, he repented of all his sins. He stopped drinking alcohol. He stopped disturbing his neighbors. He started to worship in the court of Allah. Now, my dear respected Islam brothers and sisters, what a great parable. What a great story about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, that this great personality did not take revenge. For every night that the individual would disturb Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa did not take revenge, but what? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was that individual who got that individual released. Subhanallah. This is the rights of the neighbors. We should look after our neighbors. But today, how do we treat our neighbors? Before I mention how we treat our neighbors, my dear respected Islam brothers and the viewers of Madini channel, neighbor is such a word that everyone is aware of. But it is just not a word, but a relation which holds a great importance. This relation is so important that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned the rights of the neighbors in the Holy Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal has told us in the Holy Quran to treat our neighbors kindly, to look after them. Allah Azza wa Jal has said in the Holy Quran, ayah number 36, Surah Al-Nisa, part number 5, translation from the glorious son Sulaiman, and worship Allah and associate none with him, and be good to your parents and to your relatives, and to the orphans, and to the needy, and to the near neighbors, and to the distant neighbors, and to the close companion, and to the traveler, and to the male and female slaves. Indeed, Allah does not like the arrogant, the boastful. Allahu Akbar. Before I continue, in this ayah of the Holy Quran, we have heard about the close neighbor and the distant neighbor. Remember, the close neighbor is defined as those neighbors that their house is directly attached to your house, your right side, on your left side, etc., etc. But the distant neighbors are those that they live in your community, they live in your society, they might live on your road, they might live a few doors away, this side, that side, they might live opposite you. That's a distant neighbor. The Quran has told us, my dear respected Islam brothers, to be good to our neighbors. And if you look at our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, time after time after time, we hear the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he told us to look after our neighbors. Once a person stood to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said a complaint. He said, I'm living in such a neighborhood, at such and such tribe, but amongst them, the one who troubles me the most is my neighbor. My neighbor troubles me the most. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He then sent Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they reached that locality, when they reached that area, he was standing at the door of the masjid. He said, undoubtedly, 40 houses are included in the neighborhood, and if someone's neighbor is terrified due to his evil, that person will not enter paradise. Think to yourself, you know, today our neighbors, are they happy with us? Or are they terrified of us? Are we those people that we've got that power in our society, on our road, that people are afraid of us, they're terrified of us? That, okay, we'll speak to so-and-so person, we'll speak to this neighbor, but we won't speak to that person. Why? Because he's going to start shouting, he's going to start disrespecting, he's going to call his friends, they're going to cause us a lot of trouble. Today, what do our neighbors think of us? Are they happy with us? Or are they terrified about us? Why? Why am I asking this? Because we have just heard that that person who troubles his neighbor, that person will not enter paradise. My dear respected Islamic brothers, another beautiful narration in regards to this. One day, someone asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a woman. She reads her salah in abundance. She reads not only a fard salah, she reads a nafal, she reads tahajjud salah. She keeps not only the fard fast in the month of Ramadan, but she keeps voluntary fast all year round. She gives a sadqah in abundance. She gives in the way of Allah. But this woman, she troubles her neighbors. Now there might be someone watching. Alhamdulillah, we read our namaz. We fast in the month of Ramadan. We give a lot of money in the way of Allah to the local masjid, to our local madrasa, to Dawat-e-Islami. Alhamdulillah. But think to yourself, if we don't respect our neighbors, then is this really being counted? Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied and he said that this woman who fasts a lot, she reads the namaz in abundance, she gives a lot in the way of Allah, because she troubles her neighbors with her tongue, she is a hell dweller. Meaning that woman will enter Jahannam. She reads the namaz as well. She fasts not only the fard but the voluntary ones as well. She gives so much money in the way of Allah, but because she troubles her neighbors, she is going to enter Jahannam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, there is one woman. She doesn't read, she reads her fard namaz, but she doesn't read any voluntary namaz, any nafal namaz. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she keeps her fast in the month of Ramadan, but she doesn't keep too much voluntary fast. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she doesn't give a lot in the way of Allah. But this woman, she is kind to her neighbor. She treats her neighbors well. What's the hukum on her? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that woman will enter paradise. Allahu Akbar. What do we learn? That person, that woman, she had a lot of namaz, she had a lot of fast, she used to give a lot in the way of Allah, because she hurt her neighbors, because she never treated her neighbors kindly, that woman was supposed to enter Jahannam. But that woman, she did not read her nafal namaz, she used to just read her fard, no tahajjud, etc. She did not used to give much in the way of Allah. But because her neighbors were happy with her, that woman would enter paradise. Think to yourself, how is our treating with our neighbors? Are our neighbors happy with us today, or are they not happy with us? When our neighbors do something wrong, remember, we're not living with the angels. Our neighbors also commit mistakes. They also perform mistakes. They also do mistakes as well. We perform mistakes as well. They also make mistakes as well. So if they make any mistakes, what is our response to them? Do we go and have a fight with them, or do we just ignore it? In regards to this, let me mention to you a beautiful narration of Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh. The Imam Ghazali says, it is not only the right of a neighbor that one should avoid troubling him, but rather he should also tolerate the troubles caused by his neighbor. And it's easy. It's easy. That if he is treating us nicely, we will treat him nicely. But if he is treating us harshly, if he is treating us as his neighbors not in a good way, then how is our response to him? Think to yourself, today what happens? He puts his TV volume loud, he's disturbing us. We put our sound speaker on, we disturb him even more. He starts drilling. We get the hammer out, we start smacking the wall to disturb him. He blocks our drive. What do? We block his exit from his house so he can't leave his house easily. That's what our response is, my dear respected Islamic brothers. But no, in Islam we have been told to respect our neighbors, to look after them, to care for them, to treat them well. But how is our response today? Think to yourself, every single person should be thinking this, are my neighbors happy with me, or are they terrified of me? Do they speak to me? Why don't they speak to me anymore? Have I caused them so much trouble now that they don't speak to me anymore? Think to yourself. It's mentioned a beautiful waqia of Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayh. Such a beautiful waqia. It gives you so much peace listening to this waqia. Once he rented a house, and adjacent to his house, there used to live a non-Muslim. This non-Muslim, he had a lot of grudge towards Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayhi, because he was a Muslim. So what happened? This non-believer, this non-Muslim, he would throw dirty water and filth into the house of Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayhi. And what was Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar's response? He didn't get his weapons out. He didn't take his friends to his house and say, what are you doing in my house? What are you doing? Why are you throwing dirty water? Why are you throwing filth into my house? No. Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayhi, he remained patient. He remained sober. He used to clean the dirt and he used to continue with his life. One day the non-Muslim, he came to Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayhi, and he said, I've been throwing dirt into your house for so long. I've been sending dirty water into your house for so long. Don't you have any problem with this? Listen to the response of Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayhi. He replied that whatever filth enters my house through my roof drain, I simply sweep it out. The non-Muslim asked that, don't you get angry despite so much trouble? He replied, yes, I get angry. I do get angry. But I suppress my anger because Allah Azza wa Jal, He has mentioned the Holy Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, and the one who restrains his anger and who pardons men and virtuous people are dear to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Now it's mentioned, as soon as the non-Muslim heard this, he said, I used to normally throw dirt into your house. Now you please come. I embrace Islam on your hands, alhamdulillah. Remember one thing here. You know, if we retaliate, things will only get worse. But if we forgive, one day that individual will stop harming us, inshallah. That person will also realize, like it's happening with Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayhi. His neighbor would trouble him. Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayhi, he would remain patient. And what happened? Because he would remain patient, that non-Muslim that would throw filth in his house, he finally accepted Islam by the virtue of the sabr of Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayhi. So my dear respected Islamic brothers, treat your relatives, treat your neighbors well. Today, unfortunately, like I mentioned towards the start of the episode, we don't know who our neighbors are. Think to yourself. If someone is coming to someone's neighbor's house in our area, on our road, opposite our house, on the side, etc., etc., and he's coming from another town, he knows the road that he needs to be on, but he doesn't know the number. Now he sees us on the street. He asks us, brother, do you know where so-and-so Haji Saab lives? Do you know where so-and-so relative lives of mine? I think to yourself, unfortunately, we are so away from our neighbors. We don't even know who's living next door. We don't even know who's living opposite our house. We don't even know who's living on our road. My dear respected Islamic brothers, build a relationship with your neighbors, inshallah. Look after them, inshallah. When you make food, you give them food as well. When you make something, when you buy something, buy them a gift as well. Inshallah, you will see blessings in this world and you will see blessings in the hereafter, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in regards to this, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has said that, do you know what the right of a neighbor is? Sahaba said, Allah and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when your neighbor asks you for help, then help him out. Today, if our neighbor asks us for help, are we in that situation? Do we help him out or do we just ignore him and continue with our own work? Think to yourself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when he asks you for a loan, then give him a loan. When he is needy, give him. When he is ill, then go and visit him. What is our response? Finally, he's ill, man. Finally, he's in hospital. Finally, he's on his bed for a few weeks. At least he won't disturb me. At least he won't block my drive. Him blocking your drive, no doubt this is wrong as well. I'm not agreeing with this. But what is our response? Finally, he's ill. Finally, I've got some support. We have to look at the waqia of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. When he found out that his neighbor was arrested, he went to help him out. Today, our neighbor, they might be ill. We don't go and visit them. We don't go and ask how they are. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that when that your neighbor receives a good news, go and congratulate him. Think to yourself. When our neighbor finds a good news, what starts happening in our heart? Jealousy. Jealousy. Why is that gone to him? Why is he not come to me? That's our heart. MashaAllah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when your neighbor goes through a trouble, then go and help him out. When if he dies, then attend his funeral. Do not make your building higher than his building without his permission, that may disturb his air ventilance to his house. Do not hurt him with your wood, but give him from the food. And if you buy, listen to the next part. Look how Islam, look how beautiful Islam is. Seriously, look how beautiful Islam is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you buy any fruit, if you buy anything, then buy some for your neighbor as well. If you can't buy, if you don't have that capability of buying it for your neighbor, then what to do? Hide it and take it into your home. Why? Because if your neighbor's children see what you are taking into your home, then they might trouble their mother, their father, that we want to buy that as well. We want to eat that as well. We want to eat so and so food as well. And those parents, they might not be have that much money to afford to buy the food that you are buying for your children. So whenever you buy something, if you can't give it to them, hide it and take it to your house so the children will feel like, look what my neighbor's eating and look what I'm eating. Allahu Akbar. Look how beautiful Islam is, my dear respected Islam brothers. But unfortunately today, we don't know our neighbors. We don't speak to our neighbors. We don't look after our neighbors. We don't talk to our neighbors. If they're going through any problem, we don't have them out. If they've got our issue, we don't want to have them out. But unfortunately, we are those people that we give trouble to our neighbors. We trouble them. We put the sound so high that it's troubling them. They've got children in their home. They're trying to sleep and you're putting your volume so loud. No, my dear respected Islam brothers, make an intention today. When you see your neighbor next, whether it's your mistake or not, you're going to ask him for forgiveness. You're going to ask them for forgiveness. You're going to look after them, inshallah. Whenever you see them, smile at them. Give them salam, inshallah. Look after them. Treat them well, inshallah. If you're making something in your house, go give it to them. It's not only the case, okay, he's given something in my house. Now to fill the plate back, I need to give something back to his house. No, you fill a new plate as well. Go give it to his house. Inshallah, you will get sukoon, inshallah. Let's say to yourself, you're living in your house. Your neighbors are upset with you. What sukoon will you live with your life with? What peace will you have in your life with? That you are having such a good time in your house, but your neighbors are upset with you. No, my dear respected Islam brothers, respect your neighbors. May Allah give us the ability to act upon what has been said. May Allah give us the ability to respect our neighbors and respect our relatives, inshallah. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Good Muslim is the one who avoids harming the Muslims with his tongue and hands. Good Muslim is the one who avoids harming the Muslims with his tongue and hands. Good Muslim is the one who avoids harming the Muslims with his tongue and hands.